I'm going to get the permission of Mary to hold her baby just a little bit. Coming back from the future, I'm going to talk about this little guy. See, because since I'm visiting Mary, and just a few hours after he's born, because of Scripture, I know more things than she's pondering right now, the Word says, in her heart, even after he was born. So, being only that he's a few hours old, the Word does say that in the same night that he was born, that shepherds, they were keeping their flock, and they went in to see the miracle that took place. So, supposing that the shepherds are already here, and Mary is, she's already beginning to nurse this little guy. 6 months earlier, wonderful thing took place. She was visited by her first cousin, Elizabeth. They both had visitations. In fact, Mary had her visitation from the same angel that Elizabeth had, or Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias. He was in the temple, and it was his turn to light the incense, and Gabriel came to him and began to share with him that his wife, after a long, many years of not having any children, that she was going to have a child. And of course, it was going to be natural that she was going to be able to conceive by her husband. And he was amazed. The only thing that was different than when the same angel, about the same time, came and visited Mary. Gabriel was very busy during that time. And he said to Mary, he said, you're going to have a child also. And she said, how can that possibly be, seeing that I know not a man? In other words, she had never had physical relationship, even though her and Joseph were betrothed to each other, nothing behind the scenes. Gabriel was busy. At about the same time he was talking to Zacharias, he said to him, your wife's going to conceive. And he doubted his word. He said, I how can this happen, you know, after all this time? And Gabriel, he was a little disturbed by it. He said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of Almighty God, and God has told me to come here and tell you this. And as a result of it, you'll be mute, you'll be dumb, unable to speak. For the next 9 months, you'll not be able to speak until your wife has this baby boy. Well, at the same time, Mary got the same visitation, but nothing happened to her when she said, how can this possibly be? Because it was only right that she would say that. Zacharias should have took the word of the Lord, and as a result of it, he was struck dumb for a number of months. But Mary was like, I've never known a man. And that's true. It's amazing. This little guy came out of a womb that a man had never touched. And Gabriel, the angel of God, said, you will conceive of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm talking about get him up here where you can see him. Talking about his conception for just a moment. Amazing enough, the Word says this, that he will be made of a woman. In other words, he will be created of a woman, made under the law, conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, actually, when we talk about that God was his father, it's important to understand how he was his father. He wasn't his father in eternity's past, like in the millions of years earlier. Like, we use a big word, but it's only a word to help people understand. It's called an anthropomorphism. It's a $1 million word, sounds like it, but really it explains something. An anthropomorphism is something that God gives to the human race to help mankind kind of wrap his mind around about spiritual qualities that it'd be very tough for us to understand. An anthropomorphism was the relationship of this little guy throughout his life and now forever in eternity with someone called his father, which is Father God. And we know him as, in eternity's past, as Jehovah. Now, meaning that there was an anthropomorphism when Zechariah, or when Gabriel came and said, you're going to have a little guy, he's going to be born to you, and his father is going to be God. And that's exactly what happened. But how was his father God? The psalmist said that a body thou hast prepared for me. He was made of a woman. In other words, the Holy Spirit touched the inside of Mary. She was obviously a young Jewish girl, entered into womanhood. She had already begun to have her cycles, and the Holy Spirit touched one of her eggs and began the maturation, the maturing process of a human being. Now, God was his father, but only became his father as he became a human being. And in other words, in the millions of years earlier, there was not Jesus sitting next to his father and saying, hey, daddy, can we go out today? Can we do something? There was not that relationship. We find out in John chapter 1, the word says that in the beginning, that means before our beginning, before we understand the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. In other words, this 6 pounds that I'm holding here created everything. Mary doesn't know this. She's going to get to know him. She's still pondering the different things and the different men that will visit her when he's circumcised and when they take him into the temple. Now, it'll be about 2 years later before the wise men from the east will come. She has him on a beautiful April night, sometime in April, where he was born. Amazing enough, sometime in April is his passion when he dies. But on this night, she's visited with a number of shepherds, and they're telling her the story that just a few hours ago, angels told us to come in here and to worship him. Now, God is his father, but how does he become his father? The Holy Spirit says to the, or God says to the Holy Spirit, go touch the womb of Mary. And a body begins to take place inside of her. The amazing part is this, that throughout all eternity, man was looking for a Savior. He was looking for somebody to deliver him from the sin that he had fallen into. Adam was created, and the breath of life was breathed into Adam in Genesis 1 and 2. And when he was created, God placed in him the breath of life, which means he had the life of God in him. But God said to him, in the day that you eat of that tree over there, don't eat of it, Adam. Never eat of that tree. And that's a spiritual tree. Don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you do, you'll die. Well, Adam was put to sleep. Adam was put to sleep, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God put him in a deep sleep. He put him under anesthesia for a while, and he opened up his side, and he took out a rib, and he created. Now, he fashioned Adam from the ground, but he created his helpmate, Eve, from a rib. In other words, he took the DNA from Adam. He closed him back up, kept him asleep until he wakes up. And boy, when Adam woke up, he saw something really that he liked. But he took the DNA from that rib, and he created a complete person. He didn't form Eve out of the ground. He formed her out of the DNA of that rib. Not only that, but a law came into effect, a law that God had created from the beginning. It's called the law of Genesis. In other words, not only did Eve come from Adam's rib, but her spirit came from that law of Genesis. God did not breathe into her. Once he created her from that rib, the spirit person that was on the inside of her came out of that law of Genesis. In other words, the flesh and the spirit were intimately related. That was a problem because when they fell, the Bible says that all men that ever came into the world had sinned. Not after the similitude of Adam. In other words, we didn't all eat from that tree, but because a spiritual DNA was passed from every man, every person that was ever born, they were all born spiritually dead. In other words, nobody could ever come and save the human race because everybody that was born on the inside spiritually dead after that. A law of Genesis says this: the moment that two seeds come together in the natural, man and woman, the very second that life is created, not only is a body created, but a spirit is created. And all death passed along. Well, this little guy was different. Because his body was created by the Holy Spirit had something to do with also his nature. Because if he'd have just, here's the miracle of all miracles is that he not only got his body from his mama, I bet he looked just like Mary. Because he had her DNA, he had her physical DNA. But the amazing part was he had his Heavenly Father's spiritual DNA. A miracle of all miracles. John said, not only is he was God, but it goes on to describe that in him was life, and that life came from the Father. You can't see my fingers too good, but I'm going to illustrate if these were genes, one's a physical gene and one's a spiritual gene. Every man that was ever born, every woman that was ever born, were locked into spiritual death because the moment their body was conceived, their spirit also came into effect, and they were born spiritually dead. The moment that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, not a split second afterward, but simultaneously, he did the same thing that he did with Adam. He breathed life into his son. In other words, he unlocked the physical and spiritual genes, and this little guy, Mary, is born alive. He has life in him. He's not born spiritually dead. We can follow this man. This man will grow up. He'll live a sinless life. He'll live an absolute sinless life. And he will have God in him. The Bible says great, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was in the flesh. Here's the difference between our Messiah or our Savior and every other one. Our Messiah is God. He's not only a human being with the life of God in him, he's the most, this little guy is really, he's the most unique creature in the universe. Even more so, kind of, than our Father God, because Father God's just straight God. This guy is God, and he's all human, and he's a human with a spirit just like yours. But in his body was also the Logos. The amazing part about this guy, he'll live 33 and a half years, and he'll never sin. Mary, you'll never have to spank him because he won't slap his brothers and sisters. Oh, the word says that after she gave birth, that it was after. The word even specifically says that Joseph did not touch her until after she gave birth to Jesus. But after that, her and Joseph became man and wife, and she conceived by Joseph and had other children. But guess what, Mary? This is one of the little ones you won't have to spank. Why? Because he doesn't have a sin nature from the very beginning. He won't pull on his brother's toys. He won't bite his sisters. But the greatest thing is, one day he'll stand up over the church in the book of Revelation and say this: I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And I'm coming back for you, church. I'm coming back. This little guy is the very one that we serve with everything inside of us, because he lived, the word says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. What a unique creature he is. And I say that very reverently. He was always, but yet also his body and his human spirit had a beginning. He looked just like his mama. But his mama had to come under his blood and be forgiven of her sins as well as you and I. This morning we're celebrating his birth, but I can tell you he's no longer a baby. He wears the regal robes of glory. There's a sash across him that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you meet him today in heaven, he's the most beautiful creature. The word says he still bears the scars in his hands and his feet. One day I'm going to kiss those scars. I'm going to love him and kiss him. And if he'll allow me to, I'll kiss his feet, because those feet are scarred with the very thing that bought my salvation. This morning, if you're in here and you do not know him, I'm going to ask all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes. There's none like Jesus, the most unique person in the universe. He loves you. This is not just a time during a holiday season to celebrate his birth, but he's no longer a baby. He's a living Lord. And he wants you this morning to have the happiest Christmas that you possibly can. And in that, it always begins with relationship. The one thing that God wanted, he wanted sons and daughters. If you do not know him this morning, in other words, if you've not ever truly embraced him, today is your day. We're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to ask us all to pray it. And if you have never asked Christ, or if you're coming back from a long journey away from him, embrace this prayer, engage in this prayer, and let Christ become the Lord of your life. Let's pray this prayer. Father, I believe that you are the Father of Jesus Christ. I ask you now, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Straighten out my life. My life's a mess without you. My family's a mess without you. Jesus, I accept your sacrifice. I accept your love for me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you glad that you're here this morning? I'm glad you're here. I'm going to ask you to do one other thing, and then we're going to dismiss, and we're all going to go outside in fellowship for the next couple of hours. We won't have church Wednesday night. That'll be Christmas and Friday, and it'll be next Sunday before we meet again. I'm going to ask you to take the time right now to bless the Lord in giving and to bless the church. And so would you bow with me once again in prayer, and would you ask the Lord what he has for you to give this morning, what he has had you prepare and make ready this time of giving. Father, we thank you, we praise you for everyone that is here. We thank you for the presentation of everyone that, for the young people and the kids that presented your love this morning. We're asking you to bless our time together as a family, and bless our time together as we eat and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God that has come into our life, and we thank you that we're always standing there knowing who he is, and we love you, Jesus. We thank you for the grace of God. We ask you to bless our time of giving this morning, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need an offering envelope, there's some that are close to you. We're going to put these up, please, if you will. Robert or Harry, one of you, please. Just after you bring this up, we'll dismiss. And we'll do all the serving outside. Everything will be outside. So we've got tents and tables and chairs and all that stuff out there for you. Would you please stand together with me? Would you get ready and bring this down? And then after you've brought it down, you can consider yourself dismissed outside. We appreciate it. We love you. God bless you. You're welcome to bring this down and bless the Lord. Amen.